Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we so long for the coming of the Lord. We know it's going to be soon. The signs around us indicate in every way that the glorious return of our Lord is imminent. And yet, we have a great task that you have entrusted into our hands, to share with the world the pillars of truth emanating from your holy word. So, Lord, as we focus today on holding the line, on lifting up the word of God, help us to truly see Jesus in everything that we do, and to help others to be drawn to the foot of the cross. Lord, thank you for this special weekend here at Granite Bay. Bless Amazing Facts and its incredible outreach to the world and to this community. And now, Lord, we bow before you, our heads bowed, as we worship you and as you help us to hold the line and to share your word in this age which is fast crumbling. We thank you for hearing us in this prayer and bless us in this worship service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
And then at 2:00 this afternoon, we will continue our series with a number of outstanding presentations at 2:00, 3:00, and 4:00. At 2:00, I believe we had Clifford Goldstein that'll be sharing the gospel and the judgment. And then at 3:00, we'll have Reese Rafferty, and she'll be talking about, and she's got an intriguing title. Here's her title: The Whole Thing, a Comprehensive, Holistic, Innovative, Evidence-Based, Cutting-Edge Health Message. So that sounds exciting. We want to see what that's about. And then at 4:00, we're going to be taking your Bible questions, questions related to the foundational pillars of our faith. It's going to be a discussion panel. So if you would like to put one of the questions out there, I'm going to ask media. I think they're going to put up a QR code on the screen. We'll see if this works. And if they can get that slide up with the QR code, I saw it there for a second. If you pull out your cameras right now, take a picture of that. If you take a picture of that, you just click on your camera and you can post your question. You can also see all of the other questions that other people have posted, and you can rate the question. And the one that gets the most votes moves to the top of the list. Now, again, that doesn't mean we necessarily will do that question, but at least you can vote for the question. So you can do that, and that's going to be at 4:00 this evening. We're going to have the panel discussion. And, of course, Pastor Doug, we've got a very special guest speaker that is going to be sharing with us this morning.
Amen. We're just so thankful that the Wilsons are with us today. Pastor Ted Wilson is the president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and originally, he and his wife Nancy were going to join us for our grand opening. And then there were some COVID issues, and that was postponed. And because their schedule is reserved sometimes years in advance, they were not able to come for the rescheduled date. But Pastor Wilson said, Doug, first opening, I will come. I want to be with you. And he is a man of his word. And we're just very thankful that they're here with us this morning for this event. Elder Wilson has been originally ordained as a pastor in 1974 there in Greater New York. I was in the cave back then. Next year will be his 50th year in ministry. He served as a pastor, president of a publishing house, directed health ministries, stewardship ministries, church administrators in multiple countries around the world. In the last 13 years, he served as a president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, with a membership of about 22 million members around the world. I'm thinking that he and Nancy have been to about 75% of the countries in the world. Traveling around, it's sometimes a grueling job. You might be interested to know that he speaks French. He can get by in Russian. Dobry subota. A lot of our Russian and Ukrainian members will be happy to hear that. I think he understands a few words of Arabic, and he manages to hold his own in English as well. And I just want to tell you, he and Nancy are some of the most sincere, dedicated, humble Christians that we know. Karen and I are honored to have them as our friends. I could say a lot more. He's got an impressive resume, but I want to reserve as much time as possible for his presentation this morning. I wonder if you might just join me from the Hilltop Granite Bay Seventh-day Adventist Church in giving a hearty amen and telling him that you're thankful that he's here today with his family. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor Deb. For those of you who are joining us online, we need to tell you about our free offer today. It's a magazine called America in Prophecy. It's one of the more popular sharing magazines that Amazing Facts has. If you'd like to receive a digital copy of the magazine, just text the word magazine to the number 40544, and you'll be able to download a digital copy. Or if you're watching this outside of North America, just visit the afsummit.org website, and you'll be able to download a copy. And for those of you who are here in person, don't leave without getting your free copy of American Prophecy. Read it, and then share it with somebody else. You will be blessed. At this time, we will have our scripture reading.
Please stand for the reading of God's Word. I will be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And it reads, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Amen. You may be seated.
I'd like to invite all of those who can to kneel down to pray with us now. If you can't, you can stand up for us to ask the Lord for his presence. Dear Lord God, we come before you this morning praising you first and foremost for being just who you are. Lord, in you we know that life is guaranteed. In you, victory is guaranteed. In you, the good news of the gospel, salvation is guaranteed. Lord, down here, we fight to hold a line. But in you, that line is guaranteed. Father, we do come before you as fallen beings, frail, weak, fallible. But Lord, we thank you because in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. And we have the hope of salvation, also guaranteed. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, for this moment where we can come together, we can sing praises to your name, hear beautiful song and worship to you, Lord, and participate in that, knowing that in heaven, although our song, as beautiful as it may be to us here, it falls short in comparison to the songs of angels. And yet, you listen to us. You accept our worship and our praise. You accept our song. You accept our love and our manifestation of gratitude, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for being the great God that you are, and at the same time, humble and meek, coming down to us and listening to our small words and prayers. Thank you for this beautiful moment, Lord. I ask you to bless the hearts of those who are here right now. Each one who is coming from their own situation, their own moment, Lord, their own experiences from the day to day that sometimes just carry us down and drag us down. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here that in the capacity of worshipers assemble as your children. And Father, as different as we may be, with as many different backgrounds and languages and life experiences as we may have, we all come as one to the foot of the cross. And so this day, Lord, as we hear presentations and we hear so many different perspectives about who you are and how we can also hold the line in our daily lives, I ask you to give us an open heart. Make us sensible, Lord, and sensitive to your touch, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the truth that penetrates all darkness. And allow us to leave this place later on, Lord, knowing that while we fight and battle to hold the line, our great general, Michael the Archangel, trails ahead of us. Heal those who need healing, Father. Protect those who need protection. Comfort those who need comforting. And endow us with your Spirit Imbue us with your blessings and allow us to hold the line at work, at school, at home. Give us that grace. Give this church that grace. And I ask these things in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen and amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. What a great privilege to be here in Granite Bay, and to all of those of you here in this magnificent church and auditorium, and to those of you watching through television, through live streaming, what a privilege to be together. It's a real privilege to bring you greetings from your worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church. Over 22 million brothers and sisters around this globe. What an amazing family we belong to. And what a privilege to be at the headquarters of Amazing Facts, one of our premier evangelistic organizations that is doing so much to bring the three angels' messages to the world. And I know that the Lord is going to bless our time together as we focus on being faithful and obedient to God's precious holy word, as we hold the line, but not only focus on holding the line, but proclaiming the truth. You see, the wonderful fundamental beliefs that we have are found in the Word of God and are augmented by the vital instructions in the Spirit of Prophecy. And with this beautiful foundation in God's Word and the Spirit of Prophecy, we are to proclaim Christ's love and His three angels' messages found in Revelation 14. Our wonderful adult Bible study guides are sharing with us those magnificent messages. In fact, it's a great privilege to have Cliff Goldstein, who is the editor of our adult Bible study guides, with us here this weekend. Mark Finley, of course, is the author, contributing author to our Sabbath school lessons on the three angels' messages, which are to be proclaimed with power as we rapidly approach Jesus' second coming. I want to specifically thank Amazing Facts and you here at Granite Bay Seventh-day Adventist Church for the vital role that you are playing in touching the entire world with the Advent message. This precious supporting ministry, Amazing Facts, is global in its reach. And I want to thank Pastor Batchelor, a longtime friend, for the amazing work that he, Pastor Ross, and the entire team are engaged in presenting these amazing messages through every format possible in helping to prepare people for the soon coming of the Lord. And I want to thank you for the amazing full truth message that you are proclaiming from the throne room of heaven itself. And those messages were given to us in the Holy Word, and that is what is our commission as Seventh-day Adventists in these very last days. God is truly wanting all of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we allow Him to use us in a powerful way. Last evening, it was a privilege for Nancy, my dear wife, she's here with us today, for us to be with Weimar University. And wonderful opportunity of seeing how God is using that institution as they combine the gospel message with comprehensive health ministry, medical missionary work, in reaching the world to help people see that Jesus, in His ministry, helped people physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. A composite message. I praise God for these two wonderful supporting ministries that are helping not only this region, but the entire globe. You see, God wants us to be part of a message that holds the Word of God passionately, holding the line, but then proclaiming the truth. In fact, I'm very impressed with the banners that have been created just for this weekend, the amazing messages from Scripture to stand, having girded your waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, and again from the 14th verse, that beautiful aspect of having this righteousness of Christ, which is the core of the three angels' messages. What a privilege for us to be able to share this message in a most powerful way. As we look at the living Word and help ourselves to understand that it means we all must be involved in total member involvement, everyone doing something for Jesus, we need to remember that all of this is based upon the pillars of faith that God has given to us, and that's what this entire weekend is all about. Holding the line with the pillars of faith. Those pillars which God has given to His church, His Seventh-day Adventist church, His remnant people, from the beginning of the establishment of this precious Advent movement. You know, in Scripture it says in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, a familiar text to all of you, but I want this to be a foundation for the presentation that I will be making this morning on the two aspects of those pillars, two of them, the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, and it rings true in 2023 like never before. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. That's what this weekend is all about. That is what God is asking you to participate in and be a vital participant in the proclamation of this last day message. Now today I'm going to focus on these two most important truths, the authority of the Word of God and His instructions in the Spirit of prophecy. This afternoon, other pillars will be given. I was very blessed by Pastor Batchelor's presentation this morning on creation. I hope you were as well. If you didn't see it, you better download it and see it. Some marvelous aspects, practical aspects about why creation is so not only biblical, but absolutely true and logical. But as we focus upon the Word of God now and the precious gift to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Spirit of prophecy, I want to thank you for your obedience to God's precepts, His truths, His promises, and the prophecies, which are so vital to our last day message. Pastor Goldstein will be providing amazing information this afternoon about the sanctuary and about how all of that works into our prophetic understanding. Now let's first focus on the Bible. As we face the last days of Earth's history, and believe me, I believe with all my heart, as Nancy and I travel the world and we're back to it because COVID has diminished greatly, we see everywhere the world is falling apart. Now you may be able to come here without restriction today. Praise God for religious liberty that we still have. You may think life looks relatively normal, but you'd go just under the surface and things are fraying everywhere. So as we stand for God's truth, as we face the last days of Earth's history, we must be passionate about the Word of God, the authenticity of the Word of God. In the past, the Bible was held in respect in many places, but now in many quarters, it's ignored and derided. We are facing the battle of the Bible. Each of us must stand as sentinels of truth, pointing people to the pure Word of God as the source of truth for these perilous times. Again, these banners that have been prepared, especially for this weekend, help us to realize we are to stand for God's wonderful truth. The devil has always hated God's Word and does everything to neutralize its effect. It is our sacred responsibility, brothers and sisters, to protect, uplift, and promote the life-saving power of God's holy Word. Do not allow anyone to turn your Bible upside down so that in their attempts to make it say what they think it should say, you will be confused. The Bible is to be read as it reads, we are told in the spirit of prophecy. We'll get into that in a moment. So the world is literally falling apart, and people are distraught about their personal safety, about what's going to happen in the future. The unknown has become the enemy. Life has become uncertain and unclear for people, everyone caught up in this cataclysmic destruction. They need to hear the message of hope that Seventh-day Adventists can bear to them, and the healing that can come in the reading of the Word of God. People don't think the world is headed in the right direction, and I will tell you, they are right. We're living in the end of time, and according to Seventh-day Adventist prophetic interpretation and the correct hermeneutical application of Scripture, we know we are living in the last days of Earth's history. But what is needed is not a political, a military, or a social solution, but it is a passionate return to a biblical foundation, God's holy and sure word. As Peter faced his own death, he shared tremendous encouragement about certainty in God found in 2 Peter chapter 1, 15 to 21. And thank you for the beautiful reading of the two passages this morning. And I want to stop and just say what a marvelous choir and orchestra Granite Bay has. Thank you for your music ministry here, which lifts us to the throne room of heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." God always wants us to have a clear vision of the big picture and the assurance of our salvation through Christ's life, his death, his current ministry as our high priest, and his grace provided to each of us. Verse 16, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses for his majesty." You see, in this age of uncertainty, God's word is true and faithful. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." Now, Peter affirms the word through an audible and a visual personal account. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there is no better testimony and witness that you can give than a personal testimony of your connection with heaven. Make sure you're taking time, unrushed time. I have to confess for a moment here that I have become, as many people have, tremendously connected with this iPhone. The iPhone provides us with all kinds of information, tells you what the weather is going to be, the time, wakes you up, tells you connections with everyone, emails, text messages, all kinds of stuff. And I have actually, when I wake up, the first thing I do is fall on my knees, talk with the Lord, ask for wisdom, for the Holy Spirit, for the latter rain of the Holy Spirit upon this earth. But then I would go to my iPhone as I was, you know, making preparations. And then after looking at all kinds of things, then I would finally take a little time in the Word of God. I want to tell you, in the last few days, because we have an initiative now at the General Conference that is being proclaimed all over the world, and let it be known today, you'll hear about it, Back to the Altar, drawing especially young people, but all of us, back to personal connection in worship to our God every day. And I have made a commitment. In fact, my wife has been after me for a while on this because she's noticed that, you know, you just jump to that phone. I do not look at anything until I look at the Word of God. And I urge you to do the same. And the same thing at the very end of the day. Let the Word of God be on your mind, not what's on world news. So as Peter confirms this visual personal account, it is to be our own affirmation in our own heart. Verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, or as another Bible version says, a more sure word of prophecy. Peter goes on to say, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So the sure word of God has always been a shining light in a dark place, especially today in 2023. The Bible, God's holy book, His holy word, is authoritative. It is our handbook for living, not just something to put next to your bed or on a living room table. It is for you to devour, to focus on, to understand, and to truly live by. It's far more than a collection of recommendations or interesting commentaries. It is God's sure word and has heavenly authority. Be passionate about God's word. Peter goes on to say in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, this is really important, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That is where the authority comes from, not from humanistic interpretations, but from God's direct contact with His prophets. People have always needed a firm foundation to count on, and it is needed today more than ever, and will be the only source of comfort and of hope for the future, since it points to the everlasting gospel message indicated in the first angel's message of Revelation 14. The Word of God points to Christ, His righteousness, His salvation, His ministry in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And yes, brothers and sisters, there is a sanctuary in heaven. There is a holy and most holy place. And Jesus is in the most holy place right now, interceding for you and for me. The Bible provides the only hope for a future. It is our enormous privilege to passionately share it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what a privilege to hear the instructions of the Word of God, to understand the directives that God gives to us for living a victorious life through Christ, justifying and sanctifying righteousness and power. Christ's righteousness, as I said, is the core of the three angels' messages. However, the Word of God is being ignored more and more. In fact, it's fashionable to misinterpret and misapply what is plainly indicated in the Scriptures themselves. It is being reinterpreted by those who participate in higher criticism or the historical critical method approach to Scripture, as opposed to the historical biblical or historical grammatical approach which Seventh-day Adventists have used for decades, which is line upon line, precept upon precept, verse upon verse. Let the Bible interpret itself through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is not God's plan that human beings will then take upon themselves to become the arbiters, the deciders of what is truth and what is error in the Bible. Everything in the Word of God is absolutely accurate and true. He wants us to faithfully follow and promote the right way of interpreting Scripture. Unfortunately, there are those who, in certain cultural and societal trends today, who would have us understand that biblical passages, such as the first chapter of Romans, would not be the actual words of Paul, but actually Paul was in some way recording what people were sharing at that time, and Paul was in some way making fun of what was being said, because actually what is written in Romans 1 about human sexuality is really not accurate. It's just some form of understanding at that time, and we don't have to follow it. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, don't allow anyone to misinterpret what is plainly written in this word. Stand on the word, hold the line, and proclaim the full truth as it is in Jesus. Pastor Batchelor already mentioned this morning, in the area of marriage, it is a marriage between, and he had to explain it, one biologically originating male with a one female. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, let us treat all people with respect, with Christian love, but let us point them back to Scripture, which tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. That is the conversion experience, and that is what all of us can experience as we look at the Word of God. Stand passionately for God's holy Word. Listen to the following instructions about accepting the Bible as it reads in Testimonies, volume 5, page 171. God requires more of his followers than many realize. If we would not build our hopes of heaven upon a false foundation, we must accept the Bible as it reads and believe that the Lord means what he says. As we face these last days of Earth's history, we know there will be a determined effort by Satan himself to destroy and neutralize the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy. It's Satan's plan to undermine God's plain, thus saith the Lord. We see determined efforts by individuals motivated by Satan to attack the Spirit of prophecy and make it of none effect. The Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy are both products of heavenly inspiration. Now, we do not place the Spirit of prophecy as an equal with the Bible or over the Bible. This is our rule of faith. You can find all truth in this word. But the Spirit of prophecy has been given as a wonderful, augmenting, and illustrative way in which for us to fully understand what God wants us to do at the very end of time. Both of these, the Bible and the Spirit of prophecy, are accurate accounts describing the great controversy between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. This is why the devil is so determined to destroy the truth found in the Bible and the Spirit of prophecy. But the devil will not succeed. However, in this process, if they're not careful, many people will be deceived. God has given us a mandate from heaven to be defenders of God's word. As this whole theme this weekend, stand firmly, hold the line. He's calling each of us as Seventh-day Adventists in this remnant church for a unique last-day purpose and mission as participants with him in proclaiming the three angels' messages of Revelation 14 and the fourth angel of Revelation 18, calling people back to the true worship of God. This church was initiated by God himself at the right time, in the right place, and for the right reason to fulfill Revelation 12:17, a church and a people who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now let's spend a few moments focusing on that second pillar, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy. How reassuring to know that God's prophetic word has been confirmed over and over throughout history and that it continues to be God's prophetic word. How encouraging to know that prophecy, whether in the Bible or in the spirit of prophecy, did not come by the will of an individual, but was inspired by God to individuals as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we're here today, here in Granite Bay, being broadcast worldwide, to confirm this vital truth as we head into the final days of Earth's history. Today, let us personally, whether you're here in the audience, whether you are watching online, wherever you might be, let us renew our commitment to the understanding that we are a prophetic movement with a prophetic message on a prophetic mission. We praise God for this precious biblical message that points us to the soon coming of Christ. And as you observe world events, we immediately recognize that Daniel chapter 2, Matthew 24, Revelation 13 are rapidly being fulfilled. No one can solve the insurmountable problems facing society today. Every week we can see the horrible results of unrest, killing, violence, natural disasters, and treachery. I want to urge you to pray for the few members that we have in the country of Sudan. We are working with our setting there, and we have some missionaries in Sudan. Pray for the few members that we do have in that country, but pray especially that somehow God will use this to amplify his work in that very large country. Also pray for our dear members in Ukraine and in Russia and in Eastern Europe. Our hearts are broken because of what is happening. I'll just tell you, in Ukraine, we lost about 8,500 members when the war began. They scattered into different places all around the world. But God has replaced those 8,000 people in the churches, and our churches on Sabbath in Ukraine are packed. You can't find a seat. Pray for our people in that precious region. We better understand Luke 21, 26, when it recounts men's hearts are failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Signs of uncertainty are all around us. Social trends continue to defy biblical truth and heavenly principles. Economic instability is ever present. Ecumenical trends are pointing to the fulfillment of Revelation 13, verse 3, which says that all the world wondered after the beast. Let me just stop for a moment and tell you, I believe completely in what John the Revelator explained in Revelation 13 and onward. I believe every word in the wonderful book, The Great Controversy, and let no one ever dissuade you from that beautiful understanding of the final events that are unfolding before us. We're to remember that in this confusing age, why God has brought a clear prophetic calling to his church throughout the ages in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. a light to shine in a dark place. And again, let me thank Amazing Facts for what they are doing in such a dynamic way to bring light into a dark place. This prophetic emphasis points people to Christ, to His holy word, to His church, to His prophetic movement, to His biblical plan for the family, to His sanctuary message, to public and personal witnessing for Him, to belief in and use of the spirit of prophecy, to the proclamation of the three angels' messages, to Christian stewardship, to living a healthy Christian life, to Christian humanitarian service, and to sharing the promise of Christ's soon coming. A complete picture. God wants us to have the full confidence that we must have in His holy word and His absolute power. This is why He provides direct prophetic intervention in our lives through biblical prophecy and the spirit of prophecy in the form of Ellen White's writings. We are to place ourselves in God's hands, joining millions around the world in this remnant church to proclaim the soon coming of Christ. This is the beginning of a mighty movement that God will finish through the falling of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. And I urge you to pray that God will prepare every heart, your own heart, my heart, for the reception of the falling of the latter rain. Explain to your loved ones, your neighbors, your friends, what Jesus has done in your life and what He can do in their lives to become changed people through His blood and the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell them of Christ's righteousness, His justifying power to cover our sins with His robe of righteousness. What a beautiful passage in Revelation 3 that tells us about what we need, including that robe of righteousness, and His sanctifying power to help us to grow on a daily basis to become more and more like Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever believe anyone that says, well, just, you know, believe in Jesus and don't worry about anything else. The Lord wants us, not that we are saved through our works, He wants us to understand how He can help us to be victorious in our lives through His power, not our own, and how we can become more and more like Him. Tell your loved ones, your neighbors, your friends of the prophetic guidance in the life of His church and in your life. We're to believe in God's prophets and share that God reveals His secrets to them. As Seventh-day Adventists, we believe Ellen G. White as a servant of the Lord and a prophet. This church would not be where it is without God's special counsel given through Ellen White. This is precisely why the devil is so intent on destroying the spirit of prophecy that points us back to the holy word of God. In Selected Messages, Book 2, page 78, we read, "The very last deception of Satan will be to make of none effect the testimony of the Spirit of God. Satan will work ingeniously to unsettle the confidence of God's remnant people in the true testimony. He will bring in spurious visions to mislead and will mingle the false with the true." Let me just stop there for a minute. That's why you have to know your Bible. That's why you have to be reading the Spirit of Prophecy. Don't just depend on Pastor Batchelor or Wilson or anybody else. You need to be sure of what you understand, because people will try to mix truth with error and so disgust people that they will regard everything that bears the name of visions as a species of fanaticism. But honest souls, by contrasting false and true, will be enabled to distinguish between them. Another quote, Selected Messages, Book 1, page 41, gives us another warning. "Soon every possible effort will be made to discount and pervert the truth of the testimonies of God's Spirit. We must have in readiness the clear, straight messages, those pillars, those hold the line truths that since 1846 have been coming to God's people." So today, let us here in Granite Bay and all over the world, let us reaffirm the wonderful gift of the Spirit of Prophecy. As Revelation 19, verse 10 indicates, the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy. Seventh-day Adventists do not portray the spirit of prophecy as part of the Bible or equal to the Bible. The Bible is our rule of faith. However, I fully believe that the spirit of prophecy, personally, I believe this, and I hope you do too, is inspired by the same heavenly inspiration as that of the Bible, since it is the testimony of Jesus. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 41, tells us, through His Holy Spirit, the voice of God has come to us continually in warning and instruction, to confirm the faith of the believers in the spirit of prophecy. Repeatedly the word has come, write the things that I have given you to confirm the faith of my people in the position they have taken. Time and trial have not made void the instruction given, but through years of suffering and self-sacrifice have established the truth of the testimony given. The instruction that was given in the early days of the message is to be held as safe instruction to follow in these closing days. What an amazing quotation that aligns itself with the theme of this weekend. Hold the line. Believe in the pillars God has given to us. And I believe that the spirit of prophecy is one of God's greatest gifts given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It focuses on Christ, His all-encompassing righteousness, His plan of salvation, His grace, and His ministry in the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary at this very moment. The spirit of prophecy portrays God's plan for His people living at the end of time. The final events of the great controversy are about to take place and are taking place. The spirit of prophecy is as relevant today as it was when it was written. Let me tell you, Nancy, my dear wife, is an avid reader of the scripture and the spirit of prophecy, and she has remarked to me several times, after reading something from the spirit of prophecy, that's like an email Ellen White just sent us today. It's accurate and up to date. You see, it points to Christ and to the Holy Word. It's truly the testimony of Jesus as outlined in Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 19:10. The spirit of prophecy was given to nurture God's last day movement with instruction from heaven and guide in the establishment of a remnant people, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And let's not say that with any self-pride. We're all sinners at the foot of the cross. But God has given to us an amazing opportunity and so many wonderful resources. Believe it, use it, proclaim it. You see, He's using the spirit of prophecy to prosper His last day church with about 22 million brothers and sisters around the world. And one of the greatest threats to following God's counsel in the spirit of prophecy is not necessarily animosity against it, but rather indifference. People and also the testimony should be introduced into every Sabbath-keeping family. And the brethren should know their value and be urged to read them. They should be in the library of every family and read again and again. You should, lend spirit of prophecy to your neighbors and prevail upon them to buy copies for themselves. The Adventist Home, page 479, indicates that the Conflict of the Ages series should be placed in every family in the land. You can get everything right on here now, or iPad, or whatever. Read it. Look at it. The spirit of prophecy has been instrumental in establishing so many of God's institutional activities for His church, publishing, health, education. The spirit of prophecy has guided the pastoral, evangelistic, missionary, and administrative expansion of the church, as well as almost every aspect of life, including theology, lifestyle, personal health, the family, the home, young people, interpersonal relationships, personal stewardship, editorial activity, education, healthcare, and many other subjects. The spirit of prophecy continues to guide God's people and will until the Lord returns. Satan attacks it, the spirit of prophecy, because it contains God's important counsel for the last day remnant church. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 48. There will be a hatred kindled against the testimonies which is satanic. The workings of Satan will be to unsettle the faith of churches in them for this reason. Satan cannot have so clear a track to bring in his deceptions and bind up souls in his delusions if the warnings and reproofs and counsels of the Spirit of God are heeded. Now, I have a very personal reason to believe in the spirit of prophecy. About 1870, William immigrated to the United States from Ireland. He was of Scottish and Presbyterian background. He and his wife, Isabella, also from Ireland, lived for some time in Philadelphia, where he worked as an engineer building locomotive engines. He finally headed out west to the Big Tree area of Northern California to do logging. He settled down in the area north of Healdsburg, not that far from here, becoming a fruit and cattle rancher and running a country store. He was a good person, but not necessarily a highly religious person at that time. Eventually, William and Isabella had 4 sons. Isabella became a Seventh-day Adventist through the witness of dedicated church members in that area, but William did not. In 1905, some tents were erected north of the Russian River near Healdsburg for a Seventh-day Adventist camp meeting. Isabella invited her husband, William, to come to the camp meeting, and he accepted. As William was sitting under the tent, the speaker began to unfold the wonderful truth about Jesus, sharing the need for all sinners to have a Savior and allowing Him, Jesus, to change their lives. At the end of the sermon, the speaker made an earnest appeal, and much to the surprise of Isabella and others, William stood up and went to the front, giving his heart to the Lord. He studied this precious Adventist message for about a year. He closed his store on Sabbath, trusted God for the future. He was baptized and joined this precious remnant church. He later became the head elder of the Healdsburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. Christ changed his life, and he became known as a generous man, helping many people in need. William and Isabella Wilson were my great-grandparents. And the speaker, who preached so earnestly about Jesus at that camp meeting, and the conversion experience that took place at that camp meeting, the speaker was Ellen G. White. She had purchased property in Healdsburg after James White died. My grandfather, wonderful grandfather and grandmother, deceased now, as my parents are, but I want to tell you, soon we will see them because Jesus is coming soon. My grandfather remembered Ellen White coming to their ranch home when he was a boy and how she lovingly told stories to him and his brothers as they sat at her feet. The Wilson family owes its knowledge of this precious Seventh-day Adventist message to the direct, practical, prophetic, and evangelistic activities of Ellen G. White. What a marvelous blessing we have in the spirit of prophecy. It is our sacred responsibility to nurture the belief in and active use of the spirit of prophecy. Don't give up or get discouraged by anyone deriding or mocking your belief in the inspiration of the Bible or the spirit of prophecy. It is not the time for apologies or uncertainty about God's special prophetic people and His Advent movement. Don't be afraid to let people know who you are and who you represent, our eternal and all-powerful God in heaven. And when people ask you who you are, look at them straight in the eye and say, "I am a Seventh-day Adventist, and let me tell you about it." Today, here at Granite Bay, Let's commit ourselves to following God's instruction in His Holy Word and His Spirit of prophecy, to daily walking with Him in Bible study and prayer as we allow Him to work in us in revival and reformation, and our special emphasis on back to the altar, personal worship with God. The dilemmas of this world tell us we are at the edge of eternity. Take this call from God very personally and seriously as we expand the vital outreach of Mission to the Cities, comprehensive health ministry, massive publication outreach like distributing the Great Controversy to millions of people during 2023 and next year, and evangelistic outreach by the church and wonderful organizations that do that like Amazing Facts. Become involved in the daily mission of the church through total member involvement, everyone doing something for Jesus. Let pastors and lay members, young and old, work with organizations like Amazing Facts and other church entities to help win souls for the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is counting on every one of you. Evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. All of us are to be involved in it, either through personal witnessing, small group evangelism, or public evangelism in its various forms. Adapt your methods and reach out. He will bless every outreach effort that you provide, all to His glory. The devil knows that if he can get God's people to look to themselves and their own opinions instead of looking to Christ, that he will be able to bring in dissension, disunity, and tension. Be passionate about total member involvement and look only to Christ. God has called us to be participants in the greatest proclamation of truth in history, the culmination of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. Whatever you face, do not be tempted to work independently and apart from the church. Stay unified with your local church and conference and other entities and with God's worldwide church family. Stay close to the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy. Seventh-day Adventists have been known as people of the book. However, in this age of relativism, existentialism with no absolutes, are we still known as people of the book? As church members with a sacred passion for God, lift up the Word of God and make us champions of the Word, people of the book. I urge you again to take part in daily Bible study and reading of the Spirit of prophecy and earnest prayer. Some time ago, I passed a church sign not far from our home which said, "Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives." In our busy routines of life, have our Bibles become dusty? Acts 17, verses 10 and 11 talk about the sacred passion of the Bereans for the Word of God. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Many of the Jewish Thessalonians were jealous of Paul and Silas's popularity with the people, and they were not willing to dig deeply into the word and be transformed. Instead, they joined a rebellious group and succeeded in putting the city of Thessalonica into an uproar. To avoid further violence, the believers sent Paul and Silas during the night to Berea. There they found open-minded and kind Jews who were willing to listen and then dig in to the scriptures to prove what they heard was truth or not. Acts of the Apostles, pages 231 to 232 indicate, "Daily they searched the inspired records, and as they compared scripture with scripture, Heavenly angels were beside them, enlightening their minds and impressing their hearts. I want to tell you right here in Granite Bay today, heavenly angels are by our sides, opening our minds as we prayerfully study the scriptures and the spirit of prophecy. The Bible points us to Christ, the living word, who brings conviction and conversion. The spirit of prophecy points us to the Bible and the living word, Jesus Christ. We're living in the Laodicean period when the devil will try everything to distract us from the Bible and from truth. Every possible means will be used: recreation, media, amusements, work, music, disagreements, false teachings, family difficulties, economic problems, health difficulties, even pandemics, anything that will take us away from God's holy word. Another great danger we face in keeping us from digging into the word like the Bereans is that we are living in an age of experiential religion. People claim that you must feel the Spirit. Emphasis is placed more on feeling, like the Thessalonians promoted, than on searching the scriptures as the Bereans did. We read in the book Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, page 89, and this is an amazing quote. In the last days, the earth will be almost destitute of true faith. Upon the merest pretense, the word of God will be considered unreliable, while human reasoning will be received, though it be in opposition to plain scripture facts. That's the age we're living in right now. Don't be fooled. Feelings lie. But truth is based on the authority of scripture. Now, there are physical and mental benefits from studying the Bible as opposed to spending time on trivial things. Councils on Sabbath School Work, pages 22 to 23, read, thousands are today in the insane asylum whose minds became unbalanced by novel reading, which results in lovesick sentimentalism. The Bible is the book of books. It will give you life and health. It is a soother of the nerves and imparts solidity of mind and firm principle. My late father-in-law, a wonderful physician, Dr. Donald Vollmer, had a patient. His name was Phil Collins, an attorney, a retired attorney. In his retirement, Mr. Collins asked my father-in-law what he could do to prevent mental deterioration. My father-in-law told him that the best way to keep his mind sharp was to read the Bible. Uncle Phil, as he became known to the Vollmer family, did just that and read himself into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He became a close family friend and a faithful church member, with his mind staying alert past 90 years of age. The Word of God is like a hidden treasure that keeps blessing the believer who digs deeply. Matthew 13:44, Christ shared the parable of the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In Christ's Object Lessons, page 104, we read, in the parable, the field containing the treasure represents the Holy Scriptures, and the gospel is the treasure. On page 100, it reads, the scriptures are the greatest agency in the transformation of character. If studied and obeyed, the word of God works in the heart, subduing every unholy attribute. On page 107, the Bible is God's great lesson book, his great educator. The foundation of all true science is contained in the Bible. And above all else, it contains the science of all sciences, the science of salvation. The Bible is the mine of the unsearchable riches of Christ. On page 111, you can check all of these yourself, either online or if you have the hard copy. It says, our salvation depends on a knowledge of the truth contained in the Scriptures. It is God's will that we should possess this. Search, oh, search the precious Bible with hungry hearts. I want to stop and just say, is my heart hungry for the truth? Is yours? Arthur Maxwell, now deceased, but one of our great writers in the Adventist Church, produced many things, including the Bible story account, bedtime stories, and all of that, recounted the story of a rich farmer in ancient Greece who on his deathbed said to his sons, "My treasure is buried in my fields. If you want to be rich, dig for it." After the father's death, his two sons thought their father had hidden his money in a treasure chest somewhere on his farm and went to find it. They dug with great enthusiasm, but seemingly without success. They turned over the soil in every one of the farm's fields, digging to a depth that no plow had ever reached, but with no sign of the treasure chest. When spring came, the search ended so the fields could be planted with corn. Summer came, and what a harvest they had. In digging the land so thoroughly, the sons had achieved the riches they had been looking for. Their wise father's unusual plan to help his sons value the land had succeeded. We've inherited a precious fortune. It is buried not in a field, but in the Bible. As the Bereans did, we need to passionately search the Bible, digging into it with all the spiritual tools we have to find real treasure. The Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy bring us face to face with the greatest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Bible reveals that salvation is only possible through complete reliance on Christ, His life and death, His resurrection, and His current ministry for us in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. It tells us that the Sabbath is God's special seal and covenant with His commandment-keeping people. It confirms our belief in a hope of a soon, literal, second coming of Christ. The Bible and the Spirit of prophecy help us know that we serve a God who never fails and whose church will be triumphant against the attacks of the devil regarding false doctrine. The Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy stand sure. Hold the line. Stand for God's truth. In the second book of selected messages, pages 392 and 394, we read, "We are living in the perils of the last days. A superficial faith results in a superficial experience. All should see the necessity of understanding the truth for themselves individually. There is great need to search the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation and learn the text thoroughly. Apostasies have occurred, and the Lord has permitted matters of this nature to develop in the past in order to show how easily His people will be misled when they depend upon the words of men instead of searching the Scriptures for themselves, as did the noble Bereans, to see if these things are so." Only in following the lead of the Bereans will we be able to stand the test, since the Bible is the only foundation to build on. Satan will do everything to destroy the confidence of you and me as Seventh-day Adventists in the landmark biblical truths and pillars we have held dear. But the devil will not succeed. It is recounted in historical literature that in the year 360, Flavius Claudius Julianus, or Julian, ascended the throne as Caesar. He was the nephew of Constantine the Great, who, quotes, Christianized the Roman world. Julian sought to reestablish pagan worship and was known as Julian the Apostate. He openly persecuted Christians, whom he called Galileans, and withdrew the legal protection granted them by Constantine. Interestingly, he had been educated in Athens by a committed Christian with the name of Agathon. Although Julian persecuted Christians, he invited his friend Agathon to serve in his court. Julian frequently teased his Christian friend. On one day, in front of a large group of wealthy Romans, Julian asked, "Agathon, how is your carpenter of Nazareth? Is he finding work these days?" Agathon smiled and answered, "He is perhaps taking time away from building mansions for the faithful to build a coffin for your empire." Less than 2 years later, on June 26, 363, Julian lay dying with a Persian arrow in his chest. He had led his troops attempting to take the ancient Persian Empire. Julian grasped a handful of dust red with his own blood. Throwing the dirt in the air, he uttered in Latin his last words, "Vicisti Galilei," meaning, "You have conquered, Galilean." The Roman Empire crumbled, but the eternal empire of Jesus lives on and will culminate with his glorious second coming. The Lord wants his church to be the champions of truth through his power. As Selected Messages, Book 2, page 396 indicates, the church, enfeebled and defective though it be, is the only object on earth on which Christ bestows his supreme regard. We are to lift up the banner of Christ and proclaim the distinctive biblical and prophetic messages he has given to us. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 384. We are Seventh-day Adventists, and of this name we are never to be ashamed. As a people, we must take a firm stand for truth and righteousness. We must look ever to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. By God's grace, let us champion the Word of God and lift up Christ, who is the living Word. Let us make the Bible come alive and make it the foundation of our belief. God's Word changes lives. Let's value and use and promote the precious instructions in the spirit of prophecy. My fellow believers, the Bible in your hands, whether it is hard copy or electronic, holds God's messages for you and for all this earth. It is your one true foundation and sure word as we face the uncertainty of the future. Jesus is coming soon. In fact, the devil will attempt to counterfeit that climactic event. You will not be able to believe even what you see except that you verify it by the Word of God. Today, here in Granite Bay and wherever you may be watching, I challenge you to be passionate Bereans, to read the Scriptures daily, to know the Word, to read the Spirit of prophecy, to cherish, believe, and share these eternal words and instructions from God. Allow the Bible to live in your life and the instructions in the spirit of prophecy to guide your pathway. As Paul says in Colossians 3:16, I have to tell you, I'm reading Colossians. I moved on to the next book, but I said, no, I've got to go back to Colossians. And I'm rereading Colossians. It's a short book, but fantastic book. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As we see the end of time approaching, let's be involved in all that God intends for his remnant church. Total member involvement. Every member lifting up and sharing Christ, his word, his righteousness, his sanctuary service, his saving power in the great controversy, his three angels' messages, his health message, his last day mission to the world, and his soon second coming. Say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I will go. I will be part of your last day proclamation of the Advent message. Use me in any way you can to hasten your soon second coming." God's unique mission for the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a prophetic work, guided by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and by the Spirit of prophecy. We are nearing that glorious day of Christ's return. He is calling for each of us to stand for him in commitment and service as we proclaim this precious Advent message and fulfill Revelation 12:17 through his power. Soon the work will be finished, and the proclamation of the three angels' messages will be accomplished. One of these days, very, very soon, we will look up into the sky and see that small dark cloud approaching about half the size of a man's hand. It will get larger and larger and brighter, filling the entire sky, millions of angels making up that marvelous cloud with a brilliant rainbow above and lightning underneath. And right in the middle of that incredible cloud will be the one we have waited for, the one who is altogether lovely, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and will look up and say, "This is the God that we have waited for. He will save us." And Christ will look down and say, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your Lord." We will rise to meet him in the air, following those who have died in him, who will be resurrected and taken into heaven. What a wonderful time that will be. The difficulties of life will disappear. God wants to guide us here at Granite Bay and wherever you may be. Guide us through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and through his spirit of prophecy as we truly head into the last days of Earth's history. I want to ask you, as part of God's called people who keep his commandments and have the testimony of Jesus, will you join me in daily walking with Christ, spending time in his word, engaging in the power of prayer, and being enriched by daily reading the spirit of prophecy? Do you want to be ready when Jesus comes and by his power and grace be waiting to see him coming in the clouds of heaven? If so, would you just join me in standing right now? Amen. I want to ask one more question, and that is, will you accept the challenge of reaching your community, your neighbors, your friends, your business associates, with a precious prophetic Advent message through personal and through public outreach activities such as Amazing Facts? If you want to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be part of it. I want to be on the forefront of sharing these precious messages because I know Jesus personally and I want him to use me in a powerful way." If you wish to have the Lord work through you in this year of 2023 in bringing at least one soul to Jesus, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Amen. Father in heaven, you've seen the hands, you see people standing. We are here committing ourselves to the amazing, inspired word of God and the inspired writings in the spirit of prophecy, and to a relationship with you every day in deep and profound prayer, and then to say, "Yes, Lord, I will be part of it, and I want to share this with others." Lord, use us in a marvelous way as we come to the very end of time. And as we continue to focus today on holding the line, on uplifting the pillars of faith, and understanding your pure word of truth, help us to be personally reaffirmed in our conviction that your church and that you hold absolute truth and that we want to be part of it. Thank you now, Lord, for hearing us. I place all those standing wherever they are, here in Granite Bay and elsewhere, in your hands. Use us in these last days of Earth's history. And please, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your ever-present understanding of how to lead us through your word, through the spirit of prophecy, and through the Holy Spirit guiding each of us. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And Lord, we ask that you will fulfill in us the following blessings. May the Ten Commandments be above you to shield you. May the Beatitudes be within you to ennoble you. May the Golden Rule be beside you to guide you. May the three angels be before you to focus you. May the Spirit of Prophecy be behind you to enlighten you. May the righteousness of Christ wrap around you to secure you. May the Holy Spirit be upon you to empower you. And underneath you, may there ever be the everlasting arms. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Please be seated.
I want to thank you for joining us here for this very special worship service this morning. I want to thank those who are joining us online. I want to remind you that we will start again at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's 2 p.m. Pacific time. Clifford Goldstein will be talking about the gospel and the judgment, so you don't want to miss that. God bless. We'll see you then.